Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Greg DeMarco Show.
And I'm awesome!
With Greg DeMarco.
This is my temple!
And Patrick O'Dowd.
You're welcome!
Let's go getting fight from the hands of the creator. Locust devouring all the hocus pocus.
Greg DeMarco, I love you.
Don't do it like that, baby.
And sometimes, at night, we spoon.
Take the fish.
And I love you, Greg.
You just made the list.
This is my yard now.
Everybody, we are live. It is me, Greg DeMarco, and you are listening to the Greg DeMarco Show. You can find me on the Twitter at ChairShotGreg. Of course, you can find everything we do over at ChairShot.com. As you heard at the beginning of the show, TheChairShot.com. Always use your head. We are fast approaching year number 7 here at the Greg DeMarco Show, and for 7 years, I have not done this alone. Oh, no. I have always had one person with me on this journey as we help you enjoy the wrestling product more. And that is, of course, my best friend. He is at Wrestling Realist on the Twitter. That's WRESTLNG Realist. He is the Tommy Rogers to my Bobby Fulton, or maybe it's the Bobby Fulton to my Tommy. I don't fucking, it's the Fantastics. More tag team. You people understand. It's the Wrestling Realist, Patrick O'Dowd.
That's a tough one. Like,
I know.
You know, which way do you go on that?
That's why I went there. I kind of feel like Tommy Rogers was the workhorse, and Bobby Fulton was more the flamboyant guy. So I think you're the Tommy Rogers, and I'm the Bobby Fulton.
That.
But who really knows?
Yeah, and honestly, who really cares? Other than us.
Well, we do. Okay, we do, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, beyond us.
So.
Hey,
our opinion is our opinion. Yes.
You know how our show is not spoiler free, right?
I know our show is not spoiler free, and I feel like spoiled milk. However, right now.
Why is that, Greg?
Because after all this talk, all this everything, Jinder has now been hindered once again,
as he is not
the United States champion.
The button gets
stuck. Which means we can feel the rumors of Jinder winning the Royal Rumble again. So I'm excited.
There you go. I mean, say what you will, though. I get that you're disappointed that Jinder is once again hindered, but it's not like our new U.S. champion isn't glorious. So we do have that going.
Of course, he is in fact. Glorious.
There you go.
And
there
twice
you go.
today on SmackDown, he was.
That's right.
It's an interesting edition of SmackDown because Kevin Owens hurt. Well, Jey Uso got arrested, and so things kind of got moved around. They seemed to rush the finals of the tournament, which just the other day were going to take place at the Royal Rumble. Then they were moved to next week's SmackDown. Took place today. Now they might rush back the Ziggler return. Who the hell knows?
Yeah.
But it's the road to WrestleMania. That's what happens. It's the road to WrestleMania.
True. I mean, anything can happen, right? Right, Greg? Like anything.
Anything can happen.
Even though you know how I feel. Like, I know that we're on the road to WrestleMania, but you know I don't really feel we're on the road to WrestleMania yet.
I remember a couple of years ago, they literally declared the road to WrestleMania open at TLC, and you were not pleased.
I was disappointed in that decision.
Yes, you were none too pleased, guys. And I don't blame you because you're the traditionalist. You're the realist.
Well, and I have a very strong personal stake. For some reason, in this, it's my favorite pay per view. That's coming up. We're in Royal Rumble. It's my favorite pay per view, and so I loved that was when they would declare that the beginning of the road to WrestleMania. So I didn't love the change at all. That no, still not really a big fan.
So with Raw 25 taking place next week, and of course, then the Royal Rumble happens. Do we see the WrestleMania sign Monday and Tuesday, or do we not see the WrestleMania sign until the Royal Rumble?
I don't know if you... Well, because it's the 25th
anniversary.
Raw 25! Yeah.
It's a big deal. It's going to draw a big rating.
Well, and so, there's that. There's also... I don't remember where I said... Because it's in two locations, if I'm not mistaken. And one of them is being set up to look like as close to the original over in... where it all began. So maybe
they're going to be at the Manhattan Center. That's one of the two locations.
That's what I'm
saying. Manhattan Center is one of the two. Like, Barclays is the other.
So maybe the Barclays? I can see it being put up at the Barclays.
Maybe.
I don't know if it'd be up as part of the old school Raw set. I'm very intrigued. This may be the first time in a long time where I lobby to watch Raw live in the household. And talk to the Mrs. O'Dowd.
Which is, an argument you can make. I think the Barclays Center will be set up to look like the modern-day Raw. I think we'll have the HD stage. We'll have the whole big setup. I think it's going to be in the Manhattan Center where you see the big RAW letters, which you know I love so much, and the traditional entrance.
Yes,
and there'll probably be even the red, white, and blue ropes and everything
I mean,
to see at the Manhattan Center.
Yeah, that's where I've seen the rumor, is that the rumor is about decorating the Manhattan or making the Manhattan Center look as close to the original Raw set. And as long as they have the siren when they go into the Manhattan Center, I'm fine. I never understood they had that. I don't understand why they needed the siren. I don't know what made that Raw, but boy, I sure identified with it when that show debuted. I was like, that's an episode of Raw. Sirens are off. Where are we going?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the sirens are a big part of Raw, so you gotta have them, Patrick. You can't not have the sirens.
Yep. I think it would be cool. I think it would be cool to go through, like, over the 3-hour show, kind of cut it up into. I want to see like multiple Raw openings. Like, can we just like at every hour on the hour just have a different one? Like, do the Raw's War one. You know, maybe get one of those later, early 2000 Raws. I just make it as fun as you can.
I'm sure we'll get the compilation opening at the beginning of the show. There was a time when they really tried to push the first hour and second hour as different programs due to advertising rates, where hour two had it open. It was a very brief open, and it was like the War Zone versus Raw, and so it was,
they
could do that again. Who knows? Maybe roll off a micro theme at some point.
We might.
Yeah, I doubt it. I don't see them doing it.
I do
really
too, but
don't.
I was willing to help you build that up a little bit.
I appreciate that, but don't encourage me for something that's stupid. It's not going to happen. So
you mean like encouraging people that the Undertaker's going to wrestle again?
See, now, this is a pain in my side. This is something that is going to, it's going to go on, and hopefully it's over next week, but I have a feeling it's not over next week, and I just got to deal with weeks and weeks.
Ha ha ha! ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
So let's go there, Patrick O'Dowd. It's, you know, first of all, before we go there, big reaction to last week's Showpourri edition of the program. Just a lot of comments from people that normally listen that are like, wow, you guys didn't talk about wrestling that much. It was so interesting to hear your perspective on things. A major curveball when we started talking about, like, you know, the morality behind working at Hooters and a university telling people not to. Yes.
It's almost as if we have lives.
I know. It's as if we're real people that exist outside of the world of professional wrestling. It's crazy.
I mean, I know I talk about being a basement dweller, but, like, well, technically true, I'm not a true basement dweller. Sorry, everybody.
Yes, you have a basement, but you also have, like, three other half floors and whatnot in your house. So,
yeah
it's like the full house, except spread out just a little bit. It's definitely fun. But, no, it was very interesting, the reaction to last week's show. It also feels like that show was, like, 3 weeks ago. When really it was just last week, so time flies.
Yeah, no, I was just like, I feel you. Like it was funny walking in because you know, a lot of the people I work with know that I do this podcast, and so they kind of rib you a little bit when they come in because they're a group of people that don't really take wrestling that seriously, so they'll kind of tease me. I was like, oh, actually, we talked about, you know, the college football playoff system, and we talked about, you know, the morality of Hooters and honor codes. We brought substance in a different way, Greg. Like, I feel like we often bring the substance, but it was kind of fun to kind of jump off the rails a little bit.
Yes. I was about to say, we always bring the substance, but no, it was very different substance this time around. It was substance that no one expected. It was substance that they just weren't used to. The usual irreverent nature of our show definitely changed for a little bit, and then we had some fun. So it's some people listened in, and they were like, and that's what we did, and we had a lot of fun with it. So yeah, those of you who make fun of Patrick O'Dowd and don't take wrestling seriously and think it's so lighthearted.
Shut your dumb mouth.
I don't think they care because they're not listening to the show.
They should. They really should.
I think they should.
Give them a link.
I've given them a link. True story. I've given links. I have peddled the show, sir. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. Despite your ribbing and all your, you know, claims that I'm only halfway into this. I'm at least three quarters of the way into this.
at least at minimum 75%.
Minimum 75% effort.
That's right. That's, you know, at 10 o'clock at night East Coast, that's all we can ask for. So it's funny because there's a person I work with and she listens to podcasts on her way to work. And I make fun of her because she drives a Prius, and I mean that's just you can't even hear it when it's moving. What the hell? Like, you literally cannot hear it. It sounds like you have to pull it backwards, you know, 20 feet so it can go forwards 10. But it was just, you know, she listened to the podcast on the way in. I was like, I should give you a link to mine. She's like, you should. So I sent her the link to last week's episode, and she was like, I thought you had a wrestling show. I mean, like, I'm like, oh, yeah, I should have warned you. It wasn't really we talked about it. So you did, but I thought it was only wrestling. Like, it normally is, but last week was a little bit different. We took a left turn somewhere and made it happen. But we'll take a right turn and bring it back because, you know, we're here to talk about The Undertaker and all these rumors and everything else that's going on about The Undertaker, Raw 25, and wrestling.
This is my yard now.
And if you had a soundbite, Patrick O'Dowd, well, I'll ask you, and I'll let you fill the people in. Why do I play that soundbite?
There are a lot of reasons why you play that soundbite, but primarily it's because there seems to be this longstanding belief that it may not necessarily be Roman's yard now, as a lot of people seem to think that for whatever reason this rumor won't die, that The Undertaker is going to be coming back and that we're all going to see it. We're going to get an announcement on a return match or something like that. Maybe not even a return match. Maybe just that he's not retired come next Monday. And
yeah, and you're more of a historian on this show. We've established that you're the bigger historian, even though I surprise people with the history. And you're much better at me at talking about why this is asinine and why this is stupid.
Okay.
So talk to the people. Fill in the blanks and kind of recap the past few months of this program why this is stupid.
This is stupid because if you are any human being who knows anything about the history of wrestling, and particularly talks about the idea of protecting the business and what it means to kind of follow these traditions that have existed in pro wrestling, you know that the end result of the match between The Undertaker and Roman Reigns and what The Undertaker did at the end of that match, leaving his hat and his coat behind in the ring, not his boots because he couldn't, is an indication that he is done and that he's hanging it up. If you go back, you don't even have to go back. You talked about the last 7 months. We've had wrestlers on our show who have talked to us at length about what it means in terms of retiring as a professional wrestler. And there are certain things that it's a very old school way to retire. One, you put over somebody else who is expected to take that rub and go on to bigger things. And that victory is supposed to be a big deal. And two, when you're done, traditionally you leave your boots in the ring and you walk away. And that means you're it and you're really done. And if there is one person over all of the history of the WWE that I would point to as a guy who I feel has defined that in words and deed throughout his career, it's The Undertaker.
Yes.
And there's just no question about it. And so when we talked about this 2 weeks ago about what someone like him and Shawn Michaels, who is not coming, who said he was done and he really was done, he retired. He didn't leave his boots behind or anything like that, but he did a very nice promo a few months later where he came back and he said, do I miss you? Yes. Do I miss wrestling? No. And made it very clear he wasn't coming back to the ring. The Undertaker doesn't have to do that. The Undertaker has protected his gimmick. He has lived the business. He has done everything to keep his character in place. The man doesn't go to WWE, he doesn't go to the Hall of Fame ceremony, in character or out of character. Like, he's not there because that, it doesn't protect his gimmick. He was the guy who was the enforcer. He was the locker room leader and an unquestioned, elder statesman and leader of the locker room and the guy who would hold the other boys accountable. He believes in this tradition. He believes, at least by my reckoning and what I've seen him do, he believes that when you put someone over in a retirement match and you leave your boots behind, that is it. And to come back, I hope, and if I'm wrong, and I said this 2 weeks ago, if I'm wrong, I lose a lot of respect for the guy because I really respect that he has held on to this so hard. To come back in any capacity to give one more go around undercuts an entire year worth of any sort of rob or build that they've done for Roman Reigns. And he wouldn't do that to Roman Reigns.
No.
He wouldn't do that to the business because it's not good for the business. And so to sit here and to hear people wishful think and speculate and want and pray and hope and follow rumors because the guy had a hip replacement surgery and is in better shape, to think that means he's going to wrestle John Cena at WrestleMania and go over and go over.
I know.
It's insane to me because you don't go over on your way out. And he's done that. He's
especially
out.
The Undertaker.
Yes. Especially The Undertaker.
So let me present to you, for everything you said is obviously true, but we've had this conversation before. Anyone who's listened to this show has heard this conversation before. So there's a couple things. Now, if Shawn Michaels had come back, and we know he's been offered matches, he was even offered a match with AJ Styles at some point. If Shawn Michaels had come back and wrestled, who would that insult more than anybody else?
The Undertaker.
The Undertaker, yes. And Shawn wouldn't do that to The Undertaker because that's it's the business. It's what you do. Now, have we seen Shawn Michaels in the ring since since his WrestleMania 26 moment?
Plenty of times.
Have we seen him super kick somebody out of their boots since WrestleMania 26?
Plenty of times. Yes.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
And that's part of the argument that I've made. And The Undertaker can still appear. He can still make appearances. He does not have to have a match. Now, I want to pause the discussion right there. And I want to back up even further because you referenced prior guests we had on this show. And everybody who has ever listened to this program, barely a week goes by where we don't mention the name of Scrap Iron Adam Pearce.
Yep.
There's
he was
no
one of the two guests. Of,
and no offense to over 100 guests that we've had on this program in the 7 years, near 7 years that we've done this. Probably 200 if I need to go back and count. No offense to any one of those. I have more respect for him than anybody else that we've ever had on this program. And I say that with all confidence because he's so respected, no one who hears us say that would be offended by it. That's how respected Scrap Iron Adam Pearce is. And we asked him in one of our interviews a question about wrestling for PWG. And he was there in the beginning of PWG. He wrestled in their first tournament. He had a big feud with Frankie Kazarian. And he lost a loser leaves PWG match before the end of the second year of the promotion's history. And for several years, still lived in Southern California, still wrestled in Southern California, still did his thing. And the door was open for him to come back to PWG. And we asked him to clarify, because a fan had actually said, ask Adam Pearce why he never came back to PWG. We said, hey, clarify for us and for the fans who don't know why you never came back to PWG. And his answer was simple. I lost a loser leaves town match. I can never go back. And that's, you know, no one would have blamed him if he went back. No one would hold it against him if he went back. No one would be mad at him if he went back. But he would never go back for that reason. He respects the match that he had with Frankie Kazarian where he lost the opportunity to wrestle on PWG anymore. He knew it going into the match. He knew it coming out. And he maintained it from that point forward. He left his boots in the ring at Championship Wrestling from Hollywood a few years ago. He'll never wrestle again. Now, maybe WWE asked him to. Who knows? But I don't think they would. I don't see him ever wrestling again.
And I don't think he necessarily wants to.
No, he doesn't. He's talking about his bump guard and everything.
He's got a great gig going right now. Like, why would you?
He does.
Like, he's happy. And I think that's one of the other things I think some people struggle to reconcile is that, believe it or not, sometimes these guys are happy when they're out.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? And not in a bad way. Not that they didn't love what they did. You know, but not every person, you know, wants, has that Terry Funk comeback or, you know, sort of thing in them. And that's not a knock on the Funker, but, you know, it's for some people, like they can't wrap their brains around this idea that somebody would hang it up and really be done. And, you know, and the other things that I've seen about the varying suggestions of ways that he could make his announcement and come back. I wonder, honestly, how much of this is fueled by people not liking the guy who put him out.
Oh, I'm sure. Not only that, but the quality of that match, or the perceived quality of that match, is a big part of it, too, because it wasn't a good match. That was not Roman Reigns' fault. And I know someone said, well, you know, if he had a better opponent, they could have told a better story, and they bring up John Cena and this and that. But I don't think that matters. Like, the match with Brock Lesnar wasn't good. The match with Bray Wyatt was better. The match with Shane was easy for him to do and therefore was better. The match with Roman was bad, and it was bad because of The Undertaker. It wasn't bad because of Roman Reigns.
It's the same thing with Flair's retirement match, quote-unquote retirement match, because he didn't he did come back to a ring. When he wrestled Shawn, there's a moment that is painful. Like, there's multiple moments in that match that are you're just like, wow, Rick couldn't go. And Shawn did the best that he could to kind of keep it going. But I still go back to the bridge. and Flair's inability to do a bridge, you know, wrestling Shawn. And I can't remember, there was a very similar moment with that, with The Undertaker. It was a tombstone, right?
Like, tombstone. Yeah, when they reversed the tombstone, he couldn't bridge up in the position that he needed to be in for the reversal. And ended up basically looked like he sandbagged Roman Reigns. And obviously he didn't, but that's what it looks like.
And what really galled me out of that was the reaction of these people that want to find fault with Roman Reigns. And you know how much, like, people know that we are friendly to Roman Reigns on this program. But people were all, like, it was Roman didn't carry his weight. Roman didn't do what he was supposed to do. Somehow, this all fell on the shoulders of Roman Reigns in a way that, you know, nobody said a damn word when it was Shawn and Ric Flair, and Flair couldn't, you know, get himself into position when Shawn did a moonsault or couldn't bridge out. Nobody was sitting there being like, damn, Shawn really let Ric Flair down. That's terrible. And it's insane to me. It doesn't make a lot of sense. And people who are looking at, if you look at this with an objective eye, and that's the thing, is people who are reporting this stuff right now aren't looking at it with an objective eye. And I will come back here, you know, week after week, if I'm proven wrong, and admit that I was wrong. But I'll also admit it with a big level of disappointment. Because it's crazy talk.
It is. It is. Now, let me present to you some arguments that have been presented in favor of The Undertaker coming back. Argument number one, he shouldn't have to go out on a bad match if he doesn't want to, and if Cena's going to be a better match, he should be allowed to do that. What do you think about that argument?
I think that's a bullshit argument just simply for again, it's this idea of who says that he and Cena were going to put on a good match too? Like, I guess is point number one. Two, he's lost. So, he's lost. He's out. He's hung his books. You're done. Like, you don't come back. Like, he did leave on his terms, if you ask me. He left. If you're telling me he didn't get to have a say in who beat him, you're nuts. So,
right.
That's the other point of it. I think he left on his terms, which is why he got to leave at WrestleMania the way he did, the way no other wrestler has, period. Like, there's been retirement matches. He's the only one who's left like that.
Yeah, exactly. He couldn't even walk the whole ramp. Like, they literally had to build the platform into the ramp to raise him up and lower him down, which worked with the character, so it was great. But it's, you know, again, another thing that people tend to ignore about this match. So that was argument number one. Argument number two is that, you know, if anyone in the business should be allowed to call that audible, change course, and come back if they want to, if anyone's earned that right, it's The Undertaker. What do you think of that argument?
I think, okay, so here's the thing. If you're talking about his cred and quote-unquote earned the right, sure, but I don't think he's the one who's clamoring for it.
Right.
Frankly.
I'll go so far as to say the reason he's earned the right to do it is because he's one of the few guys who would never do it. Because he won't do that to Roman Reigns. And that statement, and we've said it before on the show, and I've written it and I've said it to other people, he won't do that to Roman Reigns, is not met very seriously because of the last two words of that sentence, Roman Reigns. People just cannot get over the fact that it's Roman Reigns. But it's Roman Reigns. Like, there's nothing you can do to change that. And to the point where people envision this thing in their head that Taker didn't want it to be Roman Reigns. And it's like you said, if Taker really didn't want it to be Roman Reigns, it wouldn't have been Roman Reigns.
Nope.
Like he, you know, Vince asked him to face Shane McMahon at WrestleMania 32. I'm sure that's what happened. And he said yes. Like, I cannot imagine Vince said, hey, do you want to, you know, can we have Roman Reigns retire you? Like, I can't see Vince doing that.
No.
I could see Undertaker being like, okay, it's time, and him and Vince sitting down and being like, who do you think it should be? And you're right in what you said earlier. Like, the Undertaker is not going to pick, you know, if the Undertaker had his choice, like his just ideal, whatever, fun choice, it could have been Kane, could have been Cena, could have been whoever. But Undertaker's not going to pick like the fans would. Undertaker's going to pick like the legend and the leader would. And at that point, the obvious choice is Roman Reigns. And it's just, I don't think people can accept that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think, and I think that's what yeah, and that's what I think is wholly unique to this this whole string. And I do think that part of this is set up also with the other WrestleMania retirement matches that have happened in recent years, because Shawn Michaels was retired by The Undertaker. Ric Flair was retired by Shawn Michaels. And so that is different than what has traditionally happened. It ignores how much more steeped in the tradition that I really believe that The Undertaker was above the two of them. And both of them are very steeped in the tradition. So this isn't, again, it's not a slight on Shawn Michaels or Ric Flair. But much like them, they got to have a say and call their shot as to how they wanted to go out on some level. I think Flair less so than Shawn. But at the end of the day, you can't tell me Taker didn't call a shot.
Of course he did.
And I bet you it wasn't even really that tough of a decision.
No, looking at 30 through 33, there's no way it could have been that tough of a decision for him to make. But if he lost to Cena last year and retired, left his stuff in the ring, I don't think we'd even be having this conversation right now.
Yes,
a legend, Shawn Michaels retired Ric Flair, The Undertaker retired Shawn. It was legends retiring legends. And so people are like, so it should be someone like Cena, but The Undertaker is different. He's called the last of a dying breed for a reason. And I think his ideal was always put over the next guy on the way out. And here's the thing, 15, 20 years from now, barring a catastrophic injury ending his career, I bet Roman Reigns does the same thing. Because that's the precedent that's been set for him, because he lived it. No one can ever relate to what Roman Reigns went through at WrestleMania 33. It's just physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally impossible to relate to what Roman Reigns went through. There's only one guy ever gets to retire The Undertaker, and it's Roman Reigns.
Yep.
The man cried backstage after the match because of the gravity of the situation. Like, he ended the career of a legend. And you obviously he knew that going in, like it's not like he was surprised by The Undertaker leaving his stuff and all that. No, like these things are planned and these things take place for a reason. And all that is there because of what The Undertaker wanted to do. And there's another argument, because I said, hey, you know what? I gave the person, I said, you know what? You're right. If there's one person who deserves the right to make that choice and change his mind, it's The Undertaker. I said, and that's why he wouldn't do it. And I basically had to get in there and tell the person, look, if you don't know why he won't do this, I can't tweet to you and tell you why. Like, you need to do some research and get a better understanding of history, because that's why the Undertaker and who the Undertaker is and what he stood for all this time. That's why he won't do it. And the person said, no, I understand history, I understand all that, but it's the Undertaker and it's what the fans want to see, because Undertaker. Because Undertaker. You better goddamn know what you're talking about if you say because Undertaker, because it's not why he would come back from retirement.
Really? He said because Undertaker?
It was actually on-der-take-ker as a chant that they would say in the crowd. It was very Markish. At that point, I was done.
Well, and that's the thing is, I hate to break this to you fans. The Undertaker, like, appreciates your, like, fandom. He's not come back for it. Like, he's just not, because Undertaker. Like, again, you said do your homework. And I feel like we have beat, like, this horse is, of like, by the time we get to WrestleMania, if this is still got traction, that horse isn't just beaten into the ground. It is beaten. It is buried. It is in China by the time we finish this up. Because I don't see it. I think it was like a text conversation, I think, or something, where we were setting up the show, or it was back and forth in one of the chat rooms with a lot of the other Chair Shot Radio folks. And I remember the thing that to me, that I think people I don't think understand and I hope is true. Again, and I say this because I don't know the guy. Like, I've never met him. I've never talked to him. This is all through word and deed and what I've seen him do. I think the man's very sort of identity as a performer and as a worker and all as a person is wrapped up in this tradition. And is very much not so, like, I think that I understand why the WWE would want him to come back. I don't understand why The Undertaker would ever see it as an option because it's just not who he is. It's just not what he does. And it's not about the fans. It's not about the opportunity to perform again. It's not about how he went out. It's not about the quality of the match that he left behind. None of that is what that's about. He went out the way you're supposed to go out. And like I said, he did it on his own terms. Like, I just can't imagine that there were a lot of restrictions put on him as to what he could and couldn't do on his last match at WrestleMania on the way out the door. And some of the other conspiracy theories that, you know, that you haven't mentioned that I've heard pointed out, the incessant need to say, you know, for the WWE to actually announce his retirement, they don't need to do that. Almost for the same reason that your idiot fan gave, because Undertaker. If you want to go that way, like, that was a pretty clear message. And, you know, they addressed it on the Raw after WrestleMania. They talked about it at length.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't slam the door, because that's not what you do. You want to keep some of that mystique there. But they also showed a pretty clear message. They showed that gear still up in the middle of that ring and not taken away as they took apart the rest of the set, as they took around.
Yeah, it was the last thing to get removed.
Yeah. And so the WWE knows, and they told you they knew. You just don't want to hear it because they didn't say it in the way that you wanted to hear it. And he didn't go down to the guy that you wanted him to go down to, because he went, you know, because he didn't go down to one of your young guys. And I think that's the other thing that's clear. Like, it's because it wasn't, you know, the preferred younger guy, in my opinion. And so that's why this clamoring exists, and that's why people cling to it, and that's why websites can put this out and it can be fodder, even though there's nothing but silence about this guy other than he's going to show up.
This is my yard now.
And it's so, here's the thing. Remember the program between John Cena and Roman Reigns? Roman Reigns uttered the phrase more than once, "I retired the Undertaker." John Cena called Roman Reigns out on all kinds of things. Never once had John Cena said, you didn't retire the Undertaker. Do you really think you retired the Undertaker? He didn't call Roman Reigns out on that because Roman Reigns retired the Undertaker. And it goes back to Roman Reigns and some of the argument that you've seen and that we've seen. It all talks about it being Roman Reigns. And it's just, we got to get over the Roman Reigns thing, because, A, he's been putting on good matches consistently for over a year, really 2 years now. And B, we talked about it last week, like when he was first thrust in the position, he wasn't ready. That was part of the narrative. Now he's ready. He's there. He's the guy. And he's taken over. It's his yard now, and that's not going to change. But I want to fast forward a little bit, because we got Raw 25 coming up next week, and we know the Undertaker is going to be there. And then, of course, we have, you know, WrestleMania 34. And this is what I think people can, you know, understand too much. The Undertaker can appear at WrestleMania 34, and the Undertaker can make an appearance. He can even come out and be introduced as, you know, the Hall of Famer for, you know, the first inductee for the 2019 Hall of Fame ceremony at, you know, WrestleMania 34. He can be announced 35 that way. There are a lot of things that they can do. You can still get the entrance. You can still get the – hell, he can come out and tombstone somebody. That's fine. He can come out and joke slam somebody. That's fine. He just can't have a match. You know, just like I said, that's why I asked the question. Has Shawn Michaels super kicked people plenty of times since he's retired? He's been involved in this. Stone Cold Steve Austin, he said it numerous times. He's retired. Has the WWE ever came out and said, "Hey, everybody, Stone Cold's retired"? No. And he's been rumored for WrestleMania matches over the past 5 years. And every time he's rumored for a WrestleMania match, what does Stone Cold Steve Austin say? "I can't do it. I physically can't do it. I don't want to do it. I'm done."
This is where I'm at now. I'm happy. And The Undertaker doesn't have a podcast to come out there and tell you that, because he's The Undertaker. Now, what I do think we could get is eventually we're going to get the last appearance of the Dead Man, and then we're going to bring back the Biker Taker. So he can make those appearances. So he can speak. So he can be part of events, and he can fulfill those legend's duties.
Yeah, absolutely.
And occasionally he might still show up as the Dead Man, and that's fine.
Yeah, Steve Austin was a perfect example, by the way. I'd actually thought about it. Oh, I'm kind of glad you brought it up, because as I knew we were going to be talking about this for the show, I did. I was sitting there kind of going through. Austin just kind of was done, and that was it. We didn't even get really like that match.
No, you
like,
didn't.
Really. It just like
you never got
gone.
The retirement match from Austin. He's just done.
So
and in this day and age of retirement matches, now we didn't get a retirement match from Mark Henry. You know that guy reported recently. Mark Henry done. His in-ring career is over. And that's just the way it is sometimes. Sometimes you take some time away and determine if you're done and realize that you're done. And I think The Undertaker knew he was done before that last match, and that's why he did what he did. And I'm sure that he had the freedom, if after the match with Roman Reigns, if he decided to, he could simply go to the back, not symbolically leave his gimmick in the ring, and be done. I'm sure he had that freedom. No one would have said anything to him because he's The Undertaker. And then he would have known, okay, you're not done. He didn't do that. He left it all in the ring, and that's what you said. It's the time-honored tradition that you talked about, and he's the one guy who's not going to go against it. And the phrase, he's not going to do that to Roman Reigns, I think it hurts a lot of people, like we talked about. I don't think they can swallow that. But Roman Reigns is about to go into his fourth WrestleMania main event. At this stage in John Cena's career, if John Cena retired The Undertaker, people would be taking a giant shit all over it, and people would be claiming Undertaker was coming back to have a better match with Triple H or somebody else. Like, now they're clamoring for John Cena to be the guy, but 10 years ago, they would not have done that. 10 years ago, they would have been pissed off if John Cena was the guy that retired The Undertaker.
Yep.
And,
oh, yeah, you're right.
Ben, I hate to tell you this, 10 years from now, you're going to fucking love Roman Reigns. And it's probably going to happen sooner than that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think that, sometimes people it takes more time. For them to actually see it for what it is. And, hopefully that comes to be, because he's not awful.
No.
By stretch of the imagination. And it's a willful refusal to look at what he is and what he's done, because you want to cling to what you saw 2 years ago versus what you're seeing now. And it happens to various, it seems like it happens to all kinds of wrestlers to various effects, that people just refuse to acknowledge when somebody gets decent until, far later. And then you go back and you start to look and see where that timeline happened and realize maybe it wasn't such an awful run,
sure.
At the top.
Yeah, they definitely will.
Here's the people coming around. Everybody.
Oh, it'll happen.
We're here.
And when it does, we'll be here to tell you. We'll be here to tell you we told you so. And
right.
And we were there, too. We were there on the John Cena Sox bandwagon at one point. And we were right along with it, and we came around, and that's what's going to happen to a lot of people. We're also way smarter now and have a much better understanding of the business because we've seen it from both sides. We've seen it from the other side, which most of these people making these claims have never been on the other side of the guardrail. They've never been backstage. They've never been part of planning. They've never been part of implementation. They just don't understand. They've never seen how these guys really are behind the scenes, because there's the behind the scenes that you get watching WWE 24/7. But even that is not fully behind the scenes. Like they're never going to show you everything.
Yeah, that's as far behind the scenes as they'll let you. It's like the table for three thing. Like, it's behind the scenes, yes. It's not all the way back there.
No.
Hey,
there's a curtain behind the curtain. They pulled back one curtain. There's more curtains they're not pulling back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's what people need to understand about this business. And they just don't. And that's fine. If you don't know, that's okay. But the problem is, people are claiming they do know, and then claiming they're allowed to ignore because it's The Undertaker. And when you make that claim that you know, but you're allowed to ignore because it's The Undertaker, that tells me you don't know. Because if you knew, you would know why that is crazy talk. And why there's no way what you're saying is right.
It's just impossible, 100% impossible. And it's you know, it's just hard to fathom. But here's the thing. We will know in a few months. We'll know come WrestleMania time. We'll know.
Yep.
We'll probably know after next Monday night. And look, we're willing to be wrong. And we're willing to react and be wrong and be disappointed if we're wrong. And we will be. We'll be very disappointed because of all the precedent that the man has set. I don't think he's going to let us down. So that's the thing. I don't think we're going to be disappointed.
Yeah, feel free to at me if I'm wrong. That's fine.
100%.
Subtweet.
100%.
Subtweet me too. Yeah, that's fine. I mean,
we will see.
All 338 followers. Feel free.
That's right.
Even the fake tweeters.
I know. So I got tagged in a tweet today, and someone replied that was like, "Go to this website for a job," and it was like warehousejobs.com or some weird shit like that. And I was like, "Yeah, how did you get there?" But it's a, you know, I got attacked by the bot.
It's time for another edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
We have a brand new United States champion, Patrick O'Dowd. As you said, it is Bobby Roode. Thank goodness it is not Baron Corbin.
That'll do it for this week's edition of Baron Corbin Sucks.
I have a good one planned for next week. I already know Baron Corbin sucks for next week. I'm really excited about it.
Can I ask a question?
Of course.
Which is worse? Like, honestly, is it Baron Corbin or is it Abyss?
Abyss.
It's still Abyss?
Oh, it's still Abyss.
Where does Joseph Park fit in this equation?
He's better than both.
Wow.
I've been on record. I like Joseph Park. The Joseph Park character I have found entertaining. Abyss.
Yep.
Abyss was decent with Decay, and that shit went away. And now he's back with Father James Mitchell. It's like they're trying to be like, okay, we're going to pull out a guy Greg DeMarco loves and Father James Mitchell and have him bring back Abyss. Not going to fucking work, TNA, or Impact, or whatever the hell your name is. Impact Wrestling and Anthem and the Owl. You can bring back Father James Mitchell and his now bald head all you want. I am not going to be a fan of it. It doesn't matter. It's not like he's going to unblock me on Twitter. It's just not going
to
happen.
True. You might give Welcome Back in the fold. You don't know.
By the way, Joseph Park does not have me blocked on Twitter.
Huh, how about that? Yeah, just because he knows you're a fan. Did I tell you I actually watched an episode of Impact for the first time in like forever this
That'd
week?
That'd be perfect.
Every once in a while I just kind of want to turn around and see who won't be champion after the next set of tapings. because as we all know, like if there's one thing that Impact loves to do, it's debut somebody and have them or return somebody.
Yeah.
And have them win the title like right away, because that's sustainable booking. it's not sustainable booking, but you know we'll say it is, because it's not so much. And just to be clear, I'm not against hotshotting titles. The TNA always hotshots their titles. Why?
Yeah.
Why?
It's funny because, and we'll go into a little bit. So obviously most people, if you're listening to this show, you're on the internet. You know Austin Aries returned to TNA, and not even in his gear, in street clothes, beat Eli Drake, also in street clothes, to become the new TNA World Champion. And it's funny because by the end of the tapings, they had built to a pay-per-view main event. That pay-per-view main event is Austin Aries defending against Alberto El Patron, when really that pay-per-view main event should be Austin Aries challenging Eli Drake. But like you said, they hot shot of the title for no damn good reason other than they want the publicity and they want the attention. If Austin Aries loses to Alberto El Patron in that pay-per-view, I bet he leaves the company yet again. Austin Aries, he'll walk. He doesn't have a problem leaving. We know that. Like he'll,
no,
he's,
he has no
qualms. No, none whatsoever. And I honestly, the last person I ever want to see as a world champion again is Alberto El Patron. So I'm hoping they don't do that. But if they do, they do. What can I say? Maybe Aries then shows up at Lucha Underground. I don't know.
I don't know what
to
say.
Anything can happen.
So who knows?
If there is a Lucha Underground
exactly.
to see. Oh.
Hey, they're
sorry,
taping season four. We know season
yeah,
four is good.
I know they're coming.
They're taping it in February. So it'll be good. It'll be fine. We're at least going to get season four and whatever that means with no Prince Puma. I saw a funny tweet that Prince Puma has now gone to work at the Tijuana orphanage with El Generico.
We got a couple of signing announcements today that were interesting.
We did.
Candace
LeRae now going to WWE.
Yep.
We've got the Machine.
That one I'm not so. That one I'm a little less excited for.
War
because
Machine?
WWE, it's not because I don't like War Machine. I actually do like War Machine. The WWE doesn't really know what to do with a tag team like that. I'm worried they're going to go the way of what was that group? Connor and I see I've already forgotten their name.
The Ascension.
Yes, the Bludgeon Brothers are fighting right now, but yeah, they don't know what to do with that kind of tag team anymore.
But what happens to the Bludgeon Brothers when War Machine shows up? They become the new Ascension? You're right. We'll see what they do. I mean, I don't think they know what to do with the Office of Pain at this point. And
no,
now that they've run their course in NXT, even though they have another match, the next takeover, and then you're going to put War Machine in NXT, and what are you going to do with them? Like, it's the same thing over and over again with just different outfits, basically.
This is what happens when you don't actually pay attention to a division within your company.
Right.
Like it's like they know they have to have tag team wrestling because it's always existed, but that somewhere along the line they forgot how to book tag team wrestling effectively. And they've SmackDown has seen a lovely resurgence and is great. I don't understand, but it's always relegated to one sort of significant tag team story. The fact that we had two tag team storylines going on for a while on SmackDown, boy howdy. Even if one of them was a comedy act doing an investigation on people's fashion. but it was something. And this is what happens when you kind of go back and you really watch the WWE Network and watch some of these old shows. And I get it. For you youngins out there, I'm going to tell you right now, the action is going to look less exciting than what you're used to because you're used to a different style of working. But if you just look at just the threads of stories that were told throughout, and I'm a big, I like watching, the old NWA stuff, all the WCW stuff that's been put out there. I'm starting to watch a little bit more of Mid-South, just basically absorbing some of these old programs that are showing footage, archives from the early 80s, some late 70s, but mostly 80s seems to be where the integrity of the film is in better shape. You had tag teams that were legitimately just a significant part of the show that had feuds with other tag teams, and there were multiple tag teams throughout a division that would feud against each other. And it didn't interrupt the fabric of the main event. You didn't have tag teams break up left and right. You had the occasional special attraction tag team of two guys who were kind of thrust together, as opposed to what the WWE seems to do and just always thrust people together because that's what they know. It's strange to see what you could do, and with the stable of tag teams that you have. And really, you kind of go back to the same well of the same two or three tag teams on your show serve up the others as kind of fodder for that group. Was it 2 weeks ago we were talking about how criminal it is that the WWE doesn't really know what to do with, I want to forget. They've forgotten.
They did. Now they're going to, next week, they're going to get their... after the promo they delivered on Monday's Raw, next week they're going to get their asses handed to them by Legend. That's what's going to happen. They're heels, and that's fine. We got to table that conversation, Patrick.
All right, gentlemen, you have 3 minutes, and you better make it good.
We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. The clock is ticking, and we're in the clear. We got 3 minutes, and we're out of here. We got 3 minutes, and we're out.
So, this past couple of weeks, we've had some departures, some notable departures from Impact Wrestling. We saw James Storm, he's gone. It aired a few weeks ago. He's done. Was not sent out in a way that made a lot of people happy. Of course, the last set of tapings, we saw the end of EC3. We saw the end of Bobby Lashley. And then it was reported afterwards that we've seen the end of Laurel Van Ness. Three names that have really had an impact, pun intended, on Impact Wrestling over the past 6 months and even longer for most of them. And now here we are. They're all gone, with the assumption that many, if not all, can show up in the WWE. Royal Rumble be less than 2 weeks away, Patrick Rudd. Could you see any of them appearing in the Royal Rumble?
Sure. I can't. I think one of the rumors that I already saw is that part of it is, was it Lashley that I think may or may not be one of the folks that could come back. I could see Lashley coming back, just given his name recognition. Like, that's the sort of person you could bring back in a Royal Rumble and be like, hey, look at this, it's Lashley. I think if you brought EC3 in, while five people would get excited, I don't know that that creates, really does
Philly,
much.
You get the reaction in Philly. You would.
I guess so.
You would.
EC3,
I see him more showing up in NXT. I really do.
Yeah,
no
right?
offense
like,
anybody.
Absolutely.
And I love Rockstar Spud with his tweet about, EC3 and the picture of the two together. Dixie Carter with her tweet about how proud she is of her nephew.
That's
absolutely
good.
So good.
Good for her.
Absolutely good.
Good for her. See,
you know what?
And that's the thing.
I'll be honest with you. You know who I think has the greatest chance of showing up? That's Chelsea Green or Laurel Van Ness. Because they need to put 30 women in a Royal Rumble. And there's a good shot she can show up there, make her appearance, be done. Yeah, and then potentially go down to NXT as well. If she even signs, who knows? I know EC3 is free to appear. Supposedly Lashley can't appear yet, but the current regime of Impact Wrestling seems to be quite flexible on things. So I think you could make that work out. EC3 could also appear in the Rumble and then go to NXT. So there's a lot of interesting things that you could do.
Yeah, they've done that before.
Dixie's already shown up in WWE once, so I would absolutely love to see her somehow show up with EC3. Like, We never thought Bischoff would show up, and he did. It could definitely also happen for EC3. So we'll find out, Patrick, now, because next week you and I are going to preview in our own special way the Royal Rumble.
Hell yeah.
So we will do it. But until then, Patrick O'Dowd, our near hour is over. It's time to go home.
That's right. Good night, basement dwellers.
Good night.